Welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 120. That seems like it should be celebrated in some kind of way. Anyway, let me know how you're doing. Say hello in the chat. Me? Frantically trying to be productive. Issue? Oh, yes. Software. Oh, Simon, you're doing rubbish. No! My problems are more Apple-related. My problems are iCloud-related. Nothing synchronising. Is it just you? My iCloud sync could be better. Oh, and the weather. It's got warm. Who ordered this? Take it away. It's not pleasant warm. It's that oppressive warmth again. I heard we were going to have flooding all over the place. But even if we have, it's too warm. Everyone's out getting masks. I must admit, I don't have one of these proper black affairs. You know, that hook over your ears and all of that? No, I haven't got one of those. Is this because Boris insists we need it for shopping? Because I find if you order from Amazon, you don't. But that could just be me. But people do seem to be far more ready to want to meet up. Let's put it like that. I can't understand sequential bubbles myself. To me, if you are with people in bubble one on day one and people in bubble two on day two, that's just as dangerous as all having a meetup on day one. Unless there's something they're not telling us. In which case, I wouldn't know what that was. So we'll see how that goes. Does anybody else have serious woes with iCloud Sync? What I don't understand is it works brilliantly with Drafts and Ulysses. And that's about it. That's where the joy stops, sadly. This time, he's trying to choose iCloud. Well, so do I. And if there was another way to sync, that's my next trick. My next trick is to have a look if there's another way to sync this thing. It's just bizarre. It's got, for a start, the manuals are shocking in the extreme. This is because the developer doesn't speak English. So that's tricky to start with. Apple sunset their services so fast to try and avoid them. Me too. I did seriously contemplate using iCloud. Not at the beginning, because obviously nothing worked. But down the line, I got Ulysses and it worked brilliantly. And Drafts worked brilliantly. So I thought I'll create a couple of folders. And, you know, so you know how iCloud works where there's a folder per app. I thought I would actually do custom folders, so not particularly by application. Good evening, Paul, or good afternoon where you are. Good morning, Debbie. I put a demo folder up and that was actually okay, but it was when I started pushing other folders up it didn't work at all. So then I decided I wasn't going to use iCloud, but this app automatically, you know, it has all the options inside it, offer synchronizing in iCloud, and it sort of is and it sort of isn't. It is in terms of you can see the file that you have created, but the way that this application works, there's a number on the icon for each file, and this number represents the number of items within the file, and they're not the same, and it's freaking me out. The other thing is there's a kind of visual element to it, and that isn't matching up either. So I've done manual syncs, I've uninstalled the app on the iPad, I've resynchronized it with iCloud, still getting exactly the same. Not a happy bunny. And it was something I was going to demonstrate and tell you how fabulous it was. And the app is fabulous. It's just how on earth am I going to get it synchronized with iCloud? What I really need is to hook it up with Dropbox. But I don't think it natively supports Dropbox. You can import stuff from it. This is the problem when there's a brilliant app and all they do is support one service, which is fine if the service they use works, but not if it's not. No, I've got 37 items that aren't synchronised. And no matter what I do, it doesn't work. Going to have to sacrifice a chicken. CQ, CQ, Deb. Is CQ, CQ actually meaning CQ, CQ? Yes, Simon, it is. CQ is a call from radio amateurs. And my father was a radio amateur. And Debbie knows all about the call signs, etc. So that's what we do with each other. CQ, CQ. Yes, that's exactly what they do. And there was all kind of other things as well, like 73s and numbers and things, most of which I've forgotten. But I do remember CQ, CQ, because my dad would sit there with all his equipment. You know, you're looking at like £2,000 worth of equipment, going, CQ, CQ, to try and talk to somebody. A bit like the internet, sort of. Hello, Deb. Macarooners. Yes, the gang gathers again. There's actually some news from Apple today. No, it's not the lesser spotted iMac. But there is news. They're having an earnings call. Oh, joy. Put the buntings out. I must admit, I used to listen to those religiously. Probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And then the previous 10 years. But I don't think I even bothered with the last one. It was like, yeah, we sold loads. Fine. If you remember Convoy. Was Convoy that horror film? I don't think I ever saw it. It quite freaked me out. But there you go. Oh, everybody's in. Hang on, Kim. Hello, Kim. Excellent. So I asked right at the beginning, when I was here on my own, how are you all doing? No, it was about CB radio truckers. Oh, my dad was into CB before he was into the proper stuff. And the thing with CB was, when it came over to the UK in the early 80s, you didn't need a licence, so it was really popular. The other thing that made it popular was the fact that Tandy Radio Shack, to the rest of the world, had two, they used to put catalogues out, didn't they, in the local papers, and ads. They had two bundles, CB bundles. And the CB bundles, there was like the more expensive one, and there was the cheaper one. And my dad wanted the more expensive one. And that was when he started. And he loved it so much, he decided he wanted to get away from, as he called it, the idiots, and do amateur radio. And the reason that that would technically, in his mind, have been a better audience is that amateur radio in the UK, you need to be licensed for. So you actually, and it's not just a case of paying a fee, you actually had to pass an exam so you could basically maintain your own equipment. So he studied for ages. It was maths and all kinds of things that he hadn't done. He'd been working since he was 14. And he passed that exam and he loved it so much. He then went back to do the advanced thing, which was all Morse code. Mum and I were like, he'll never get that. He was fantastic at it. He was like a duck to water. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And he loved it. And he started teaching other people. And he was keen on his amateur radio until the day he died. Far too keen for my mother's liking. It can be quite all consuming, shall we say. You know, the equipment you've got to have in the house and the aerials and stuff. We still find aerials in the garden that he'd buried. They were like, there was aerials that were the kind of standard aerials you would imagine that were like on a roof. But there's also wire aerials and they need like a run. You need to like lay them under the turf of a garden crisscross or something. So it created a large surface area. And we still dig up bits of his radios today. Ah, gone but never forgotten. Oh, right. Where's Kim been? Kim's been grocery shopping. Not used to carrying credit cards. Got ready to check out and forgotten it at home. Oh, no. That's the thing, isn't it? Everything is so different. Because I've not been out of the house since the 6th of March, I think I'd probably forget to put shoes on or things. It's been a while. I'm actually wondering whether I need a car anymore the way this is going. Don't know if this is true in the States, let me know, or anywhere else. But we've been having stories the last about 36 hours. And it started off on Sky News, and you take that with a pinch of salt. But it's actually going all over the place now. That people who have had COVID, either the symptoms haven't gone away and they've had them for 3 to 4 months and they're showing no signs of going anywhere, or people have been sent home and said, yes, you're absolutely fine, off you go, and they are still suffering with these symptoms. And the story was to the point that you don't exactly get better, that it's not just a respiratory issue, that people are having ongoing and serious kidney problems, lung problems, you name it, aches and pains, can't sleep, can't concentrate. Now, I don't know how much of that is the fact that we're still in lockdown and some people don't like it. Me? Quite happy. Not a problem. Wasn't a people person to start with. I like the macarooners and the MacBiters, and that's about it. You know when people come in and they want to talk about the fact they've had their nails painted 7 different shades? Yeah, that doesn't work for me anyway. So, not worried about that. But we hadn't heard that before. But now it's been going on 3 to 4 months. Apparently, there's enough data that they can look at it and start to panic. That it's causing problems of which they were previously unaware. Is that being talked about anywhere else? Let me know. Ooh, house update from Paul. Can't wait. Let's have a look. Hope he taught me Morse code when we were dating. I've only got a few letters myself, Deb. I can do SOS, obviously. And he taught me my name, which I know the beginning one is D. Other than that, I've kind of forgotten a bit since then. Apple Pay at the grocery. Paul, I was so excited. Went round the corner and we've only got about 6 shops. There's a betting shop, a Chinese takeaway, a chemist, a newsagent, a barber's, and a very small supermarket. It's big enough, do you know what I mean? It's not like a corner shop, a tiny place, but it's not a major shop. And I went round there. I was sat outside as Mike was picking something up. And I just glanced up and noticed that they were taking Apple Pay. And I thought, I've got to go in and try this. I think it's very astute of businesses to support Apple Pay. Because as soon as somebody gets a new phone or a new watch and they've never done it before, they gravitate to shops that take Apple Pay so they can try it. It's a great idea. Ah. Oh, I did not know that. Right, hang on. You still got to put your card in the slot. Ooh, wow. Trying to think about it. Yeah, we do have that here. We actually have. Every checkout has a kind of card reader attached to it. So it's there permanently. So that you wouldn't have to interact with people, but of course you would have to tap the numbers out. And I don't suppose that's been cleaned between uses. I don't know, which is where the gloves come in, I suppose. You tap out SOS when you've been in distress and couldn't speak, or he's in another room and you need help. That's genius. If you can whistle the theme tune, for some mothers do have them, you should know all the letters. It's literally Morse code rhymes of the show title. I did not know that, Simon. I am going to go and find that out at the end of it. Finally, the banks. We Bank enabled Apple Pay on the debit cards. You use it at pizza restaurant to pay, but still have to enter the PIN. Oh, for crying out loud. No, I must admit, when I was doing the shopping, which I did take to doing probably about 4 years ago, and I'd got my watch. Mike didn't have a watch at that point. And I did set it up. And no, I don't need to put a code in or anything. I just need to double tap the big button and just hold it near. And it's absolutely fine. What surprises me here is even now. So I know people have been using it for more than 4 years. But even now, the checkout assistants are absolutely poleaxed when you do it. It's like, oh, you're paying with your watch. I've seen one person do it with a phone, but never a watch. So it doesn't seem to be that most people are using it. Now, I personally think that will have changed drastically in the circumstances we find ourselves in now. But who knows? So bad you can't enter your PIN via your phone. That would be brilliant. What we need is Jonathan's company to arrange something like that. That would work. The one problem we have with Apple Pay, and I don't really know who to blame. I don't think it's Apple. It could be somewhere along the banking chain. But the problem you've got with it is a lot of the shops only let you buy up to £30. You can't buy more than £30. Now, I know that this is some kind of farce because I went to the garage. Now, that wasn't this February. It was the February before. And I was having my MOT done. That's the annual check on your car. Make sure it's roadworthy. Not moved in months. And I said, can I use my watch? And he said, we didn't think so. We thought it was £30 limit. He said, but a guy came in last week and said he'd try it and it went through. So I said, go on then, I'll give it a go. And it was fine. So I was okay using it at the garage. I was okay using it at the dentist. They were fine with it as well. But the biggest surprise to me is national supermarkets, because not many people bother going out of the way to go to a supermarket to spend less than £30. Sometimes they will let you put the thing through in multiple passes, but the machines are incapable of taking more than £30 with Apple Pay, which is ridiculous in this day and age. Towards the beginning of the COVID thing, they said, we're going to up the limit. So Mike and I were like, yes, because you can go in Apple and spend £10,000 on your watch if you want. So it's not a hard limit. It's a limit that somebody somewhere has decided, like Mr. Tesco. And when we read on with this article, fabulous, £45. But it said it would take months and months for the systems to be updated. The equipment would need to be changed. And I thought, you're kidding me. Why do you need to change the equipment for a limit change? I mean, that implies that the limit is hardwired to the terminal, which I've never heard of before. But that's what they said. So who knows? Who knows? Now, one thing I did see today, we talked about the fact that America get everything way before we do, obviously. But good news today if you're after a Bridge keyboard. They are now available in the UK. Obviously, we can't go out to get them and all the stores are closing, but they are available for purchase if you are interested. Mike is next door tonight. He's split himself, to be honest. He's triple booked himself. Should be in here with us, but then got an emergency call from a guy who said, could you facilitate our meeting? So he said, oh, go on then. So he did. So that's where he is right now. But there's also a United match on. They're at home tonight. They're playing Southampton. So, managed to triple book himself tonight. And the game is on the TV. So he's next door running a meeting. And yes, he's taken his phone with him so he can put the match on as well. He's a bad boy, isn't he? Now, what else are we looking forward to this week? Do you know what I'm looking forward to? Still waiting. But I've got a feeling it'll be this week, or maybe next week, or maybe the week after. IMAX. Yeah, still waiting for the IMAX. No news today, but it's usually a Tuesday. It's usually a Tuesday. Talking of which, knowing that it's usually a Tuesday, I've been making mischief in Notion. Might be something worth showing you. You wouldn't think you had a need for it, but trust me, you might. Exactly, Paul, the IMAX. We've had that many systems for running MacBytes over the years. I will say half the time we've decided to move and half the time the service has died. So the very first thing we used, it needed to be online. It needed to be accessible by multiple people, because when we started, there were three of us. There was me, there was Mike, and there was Mikey B. And he lived about 25, 30 miles away from us in a place called Warrington. So whatever we did, it had to be done online. So we were actually, at the time, most people who were doing podcast recordings were pretty much doing them in the same place. But we were doing it, I think we started off with iChat and then we went to Skype because iChat, the synchronisation was absolutely chronic. So we, from day one, it always had to be online. The first one we used was Google Notebook. Ooh, what's Simon been up to? Working on using a Stream Deck alternative with Keyboard Maestro using an old iPad as the display control service. Oh, nice. I used to use my iPad 1 for that. There was an app called Actions and it then changed its name. Well, it was a completely different app because they wanted to charge you again, which was pretty naughty. What was it called? It'd come to me. Needed a server component on the computer, obviously. It worked brilliantly, but they just kept dying. That's when I decided to go for an actual physical thing and be done with it. The Stream Deck actually does have the benefit that it seems to be incredibly well supported. There are alternatives, but that one seems to be incredibly well supported. Oh, you'll have to do a piece on it, Simon, and so we can all follow along. That would be grand. So back to the system. We started off with Google Notebook, which was way ahead of its time. And we went through, I think we went through at least 12, maybe more different systems. But when I found Notion, we were actually using Zenkit. Now, if you've never heard of Zenkit, but you have heard of Trello, Zenkit's Trello on steroids. So I had a look at Notion and I thought, no, we're not moving again. No, no, no. But the more I looked at Notion, the more I actually thought it was viable. So I actually said to Mike, I'm thinking of moving again. And he just rolled his eyes, bless him. but we did. And what I said to him was, look, let's just try it with this show. And if it's more difficult, then we won't. We'll stay where we are. Because we were actually literally at the point of giving Zenkit money. It had been the rest of the system that was an issue with it. So we moved it into Notion for just this one show and it was absolutely 10 times better. So we decided we'd move the whole lot to Notion. But the thing was, because there'd been so many different systems over the years, every time we moved system, we had to try and find a way to bring in what we'd already done in the old system. This pretty much started about the time we were forced to move from the one I loved, which was Google Wave. So basically what gets brought in is like a PDF of this was what we covered. Now, that's not actually, I mean, that's useful. Fair enough. When did we last talk about X? But the thing was, what was actually more useful was the metadata. What was the show called? When was it released? What's the link to it? So obviously, for the new shows moving forward, we'd built this system. So I said to Mike, I actually think it would be worthwhile for once backfilling properly. Now you're wondering what backfilling properly means. It meant going back through every previous show and putting in the metadata, which was the date it was released, what the show was called, and then somehow underneath, below the fold, what we covered. But I was less concerned about below the fold and more concerned with the release schedule type of thing. So we talked about it, and in the end, I said, you know what? We could have it done while we're talking, making a decision whether it was worth doing or not. So what we did was, I said, look, let's take 45 minutes. If you do half and I do half, you know, that's an hour and a half's worth of work. Let's see if we can get it done. And we did. And it was absolutely fine. So we had every MacBytes show in there. We've obviously, from the point that we switched to Notion, we'd got everything that we'd done since then in there. But the other day, I was looking for something. And I goes in there and I thinks, hang on a minute. There's some stuff not in here. The one thing we hadn't put in was the MacBytes Live that we did. So we started doing MacBytes Live events in 2010. At that point, we we had a system in place where we could provide a chat while the show was going on. So that's what we did. That's what we decided that we would do. I can't remember actually how many there were, but on average, there's between 3 and 4 a year, and we've been doing it for 10 years. But we didn't have like a stub, by which I mean just the meta, in Notion. Now, you might think that's not a huge issue. What we were trying to do was make a prediction about when an upcoming event would be. So we backfilled. Well, I backfilled. I backfilled. And as I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, it's all very well knowing the date that something was released, but what about the day? And obviously, if you've got a calendar in front of you, you can work out what the day was. You can extrapolate that from the date. But wouldn't it be nice if that was there to start with? So I had to sort a formula out, which was nowhere near as complicated as I expected it was going to be honest. So I thought, the thing is, and we've discussed this, haven't we? Above the fold, below the fold. You know, how much stuff do you want above the fold? How much stuff do you want below the fold? And there was also another thing that we might have needed. You tell me if you can guess what that was. We'd got the date, and what we wanted was the day. And the reason we wanted the day was, sometimes you're thinking, right, there's going to be an event on in September. What day is it usually on? Is it a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Thursday? They've never had an event on a Friday, but they have had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So that was why we put the day in. But what else might be useful and why? Yes, let's see if you're all awake and concentrating. So actually putting the date in, I was expecting to have to extract the day number from a date, because this is how Excel works. Each day is allocated a number. I think Monday's a 1, but don't quote me. And then you have to do a kind of comparison between the number and then replace the number with a day. Notion was way, way, way easier, but it was a calculation. So that was one thing that we needed. So Paul said the running length. That's a very interesting point, and it annoys the heck out of Mike and I. There's no concept in Notion of a duration. So we put it in a text field, and we put it in just as, you know, 01:01:30. So 1 hour, 1 minute, 30 seconds. You can create another field and calculate from that text the duration, but it still wouldn't display that nicely, to be honest. And you'd still have to have two fields, not one. I live in hope that they will put a duration type in. It seems silly to me not to, when there are many, many creatives putting information like that in. What we do about it, Paul, is if we wanted to calculate, you know, how many hours Marooned has been on since we started, what Mike would do is he'd export the table as CSV, take it into Excel. You know that. But if I needed access to it, we'd probably end up with it in Google Sheets. To be honest, Google Sheets is better with data from Notion and anywhere else that isn't particularly formatted. It's coming as CSV. Because what it can do, it will take the text field from Notion and it will treat it as a time. With no magic from me, no fiddling with it, just treats it as time. So we would calculate it that way. But there was one other thing that we needed, and it was one of those things that neither Mike nor I thought we were going to need it. But when we came, because obviously when you build in Notion, if you're anything like me, I do try to think about how I'm going to use the data and how I would interrogate the data, but you never quite know until you start doing it. And at the point we started doing it, we were discussing September and we were discussing the new iPhone event. And the thing is to avoid in September, it's Labor Day. Hello, Anthony. And Labor Day is a Monday, which could impact the date of the event. And I couldn't filter for September. Now, you might think, well, you got a date, of course you can. No. When you create a filter with a date, you can only have a start date and a finish date. And I just wanted to see all of the events over a 10-year period that had happened in September. So I said to Mike, hit a brick wall with this. So he said, well, you could do it by date. I said, away you go. Give it a go. And he came back and he said, you can't do that. I said, no, you can't, can you? I said, but we've managed to extract the day. So if we extracted the month, it would be completely superfluous 9 times out of 10, because you can just glance at the date and instantly know what day, what month it was. But in this circumstance, I needed to see all of the events irrespective of the year that happened in September, because they were the September events, and I needed to see when they were likely to be, mindful of when Labor Day is. And we actually were surprised. I was completely blown away by the fact of, yes, I can look at all of them, but just isolating those in September, we found information that we did not know. You should do, because you can always go and look at the dates, but looking at them isn't the same as seeing them as a data set returned to you, because there are other things in the way. When they're the only things you're looking at, you can focus and you can see patterns that you could not see with the other data there. It's always a Tuesday. So technically, I guess it could be the day after Labor Day. Let me know. Do you take more than a day off for Labor Day? Because Apple have never done it the day after Labor Day, which again was an interesting piece of information. They've also never done it later than the 8th. Which we were quite surprised about, because when we looked at the calendar, we said, no, that's far too early. So this year they might surprise us, but it has only ever been one event before the 4th and no events after the 8th. And the one that was on the 1st, I think it was in Paris. It was when they used to do a music event. It wasn't pre-iPhone. But the iPhones were coming out in March and the summer, I think, at that stage. So it was fascinating, the information that you could get out of it by adding in one extra field. I have stuck it at the bottom of the field list because I don't really need to see it when it's above the fold. But fascinating. So we've been fiddling in Notion, or I've been fiddling in Notion. What else have I built in Notion? I'm in the middle of organising something that's been in Notion for a while, and I won't say, haven't used it much, but I've forgotten it was there because I didn't finish it. It was one of those things that was like, okay, I've got half the information in there, but I didn't take it to complete. If I'd have taken it to complete. Oh, and the other thing I've done in Notion, I've the engine room where you don't touch those tables because they're the root tables. What I was doing with the underlying tables was all of the admin work. But I then decided you may have different types of admin work you want to do. And this was where I was at. I was at the point where I had like 15 views on a table, the core underlying table. And the number of views was getting silly. And it was two distinct different types of maintenance that I wanted to do. And that was when it hit me that I should not be in the underlying table, not even for maintenance. So I didn't have to rebuild anything. I just went into the engine room and I took all of the underlying tables that were in there and I put them under a disclosure triangle, which I called source data. I also made it red, which means leave it alone. You never need to go in here, woman, was what it meant. And then above a horizontal line, I then built what I'm calling my master management tables. So at the moment, they don't have much in the way of views in them. But as I start to use them and think I need a view of this and I need a view of that, that is where I will put them. But if I then decide I want to have like one for one type of maintenance, say general maintenance, and then another one for archiving off purposes, then I would be able to duplicate the master management table, which is not the core data. And I would get all of my views and then I could delete the ones I didn't want out of the first view. I know it shouldn't have to come to that, but actually it makes it neater and tidier. And you can kind of split mentally what you're doing, that you're not sitting there. You know, like you've probably done it yourself. You're sitting there and you're looking at a table and you think, I'm maintaining this. And then all of a sudden you see something and you think, oh, I need to do that. Then you're off. And then you've forgotten what you're doing. That. So hopefully that'll help. Happy to show you that in an after hours if you actually want to see what it looks like. Ooh, Kim was able to set up mileage medical appointments and have them on a running amount for the annual taxes. Brilliant, Kim. I must admit, I haven't done much in the way of putting finances in there. Must admit. I guess that's because I've got other systems for finances. What I am finding is working. Oh, Paul would like to see that. Okay, that post-it note. New packet of post-it notes and a pen. Right, I'll put that on there. I mean, it's pretty basic. It's just the concept of doing it and what advantages it actually gives you. It didn't take that long to do. All I needed to do was have a page to represent each individual source table and then go into that page. In fact, what I did was I didn't make a new page for each one because there's one thing that Notion does drives me crackers. You can't set the default Notion-wide to make a page a full width. So I made the first one a full width and I put the table in it. And then I went back to the main page and then I made another page and I thought, oh, hang on. So I went back out, I made it full width and I went back out to the page and then I duplicated it. And that way I had like a starting point where I didn't need to go through and make it full width. But I added time management group with journals, weeks, months, quarters and years. Didn't have the right icon for years. I don't know why. Then I've got task management with projects, areas, actions and clients. And then I've just put other tables. They are actually systems, but I've only got one in there at the moment. So that's the notes system. The notes system that I built is working fabulously. Better than I ever imagined. And what was really funny was there was a I watched the original video that I talked to you about where this guy had created this system because he wanted to really replicate Evernote inside Notion. And I watched the video and it was a very good video, but I thought he'd totally missed the point that you can't union query. So when I redesigned the notes system, it was with an eye on the fact that you can't union query. And if I want to move something from notebook A to notebook B, I want it to be quick. One thing I did consider was making a separate table for notebooks and relating the two. I decided at the moment not to do that because I thought it is technically speaking the right way to do it, if you're with me. But I thought, let's just see if it works first. So I was going to give myself like 4 weeks. If it worked and if I felt there was any benefit to having the notebooks separate from the notes. If you remember, the notebooks were either a select or a multi-select, depending solely on whether you ever wanted to put a note in two different notebooks. But the notebooks were actually, being a select or a multi-select, that gave you the ability to create a Kanban and organise it by notebook. You could apply other filters, but I thought that was actually quite a handy feature to have. Having said that, not actually built it yet. But I could do because it's structured in that way. Well, because I'd watched the first video, YouTube said, you watch this, you might want to watch this. And it was another guy who'd done a reply video. Apparently this is a thing. Another thing that I didn't know. People doing reply videos. So particularly people who don't have the kind of following that the person who created the first video has. So they create a reply video quoting the first video. And then all the people who watch the first video will be recommended to watch his, which is exactly what happened. And he pointed out exactly what I pointed out, which is, yo, you can't union these. So maybe you'd be better doing it this way. And he'd done it exactly the same way that I'd done it. But he'd done the notebooks separate in a separate table that was related. I'm still on the fence over that one. But interesting that, you know, more people than just me were thinking the original was flawed. But generally speaking, the system is working well enough with the notes to tempt me away from just randomly sticking notes all over the place. In terms of, I'll think, oh, I want to make a note of that. But because of the way that I originally had it designed, it's like, oh, I'll make sure it's all neat and tidy first, and then I'll put it in there. But now I'm actually in the process of like, no, it's okay. You just put it in and you can tidy it up in there later, because you're not going to lose it, because it's going to be in the inbox. And that is actually working. I put my Devon agent research in there, although I did eventually do that somewhere else. I added, a piece about what I didn't like about those new links that they'd done. And most importantly, my Devon Think stuff going in there. At least Random Notes is going in there. So yeah, it's working quite nicely, that one. I don't know why they don't give you an option to make full pages as a default. It seems such a tiny thing that they could do that would have a big impact. Most of my pages are full pages. I would say there are exceptions to that, obviously. In the notes system, for example, I tend to work with each individual note in a float over window, so it wouldn't really matter. But so many of the pages I make, so I would love that. Or even just have an option to maybe hold a key down, and when you make a page, it's full width. Just something like that. They seem to have, they're like a tram on a track notion. What makes me laugh with them is when they do things and they're like, oh, isn't this fabulous? And you're like, no. Can we get round to doing X, Y, and Z? You know, the important stuff. But they clearly have a roadmap, and that is what they are following. And I've had to learn to accept those icons so far. But I will be having another dabble with them about them, because I really, really don't like them. But the management table thing is a good idea. It also would enable you, if you're sharing your stuff, to be able to build like management, maybe a simplified management. So I've got my engine room, and then I have the Giles Thomas engine room, which has all the shared stuff in it. So my notes aren't particularly shared. All of my to-dos and stuff like that, projects, not shared. But the MacBite stuff is shared. The Catanian stuff is shared. The Munich stuff is shared. So we have a Giles Thomas engine room. And sometimes Mike will be going into there to interact with the table. And he may decide to create a view for him. And there's another issue. He might want views that are separate views for administration purposes. But I don't ever want to see them, because they're filtered maybe for tasks belonging to him. So there's another reason that you might want to do that. So I'm actually looking at the Giles Thomas engine room. What a mess. The MacBytes stuff is in a MacBytes page nested. The meeting notes is nested, and the wiki is nested, and the design system. But I'm wondering why we have an actions triage table. I have no idea. I'll find out with Mike later. And an area we would love to work, but so far isn't working, is the meal tracking. We were using OneNote for ages, like 2.5 years. It was just about adequate. Just about. We'd take the week and we'd say, you know, well, I've got a webinar and yeah, I'm working early, you're working late. Like Mike this morning was up at about 4:30 because he was training Australia. So he got up, he did a bit of his work, then he went and trained Australia for an hour. Then I think he said he took an hour off, but then he had to train Indonesia. But by 2:30, he was finished. So he actually wrapped up at 2:30. So every day is different. And, you know, if you've got a meal that you quite like, but it takes a long time to prepare, that would be the day to do it. So that's how we do it. But in Notion, we just think like we should have a recipes table that's linked to the meals and that we can pull through. And we've not actually taken the time to stop and build it yet. Obviously, COVID sort of put pay to that as well. It was basically like, yeah, if we've got no food, we'll have some of the dogs, because the dog had plenty. Yes, update on the dog's food. She likes the tripe sticks very much. She also likes the new sausages very much. But we only bought 3 packets in case she didn't. So now she's on rations until Saturday. When we have both Tesco and Asda coming. In fact, I think he's managed to do it, Mike, at the same time. So there could be supermarket wars on the front path. We'll see how that goes. But Tesco will allow you, I think, to have 10 packets of each. So she's definitely not going to starve. She's just sat next to me all day, giving me the brown eyes of, I know the treats are on your right-hand side. Could you possibly get the box out? But she's on strict rations after yesterday. She didn't need to overindulge, let's put it like that. But it would be nice if we could get that meal tracking sorted. Is anybody using Notion for meal tracking or anything like that? Okay, she is definitely liking them. She seems a bit better today. I think it was hot. She'd been out quite early for a walk and obviously she'd grossly overindulged. And she's never had those treats before. So that's why she's definitely not having too many. Today she had one tripe stick. But what we did was broke it in half. They're very thin. They're like a pencil. A little bit shorter than an average pencil, but certainly no thicker. In fact, a little bit thinner. So what we did was we actually managed to snap one in half. So instead of her having one from each of us, she got half from each of us. Apparently dogs can't tell the difference in size of treats. I don't believe that for 1 minute. They're not stupid. But that's what I read. I also read they see in black and white, which again seems odd. Because sometimes, I swear, you know, she wants the red toy and it's the red toy that she will go to. Maybe she's doing, you know, we're talking like she's got three toys. They're identical, apart from the fact one's red, one's blue, one's yellow. And she wants the red one. Or you can say to her, bring me the red one, and she will. I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. You're not tracking meals via Notion, but you use Fitness Pal. No, don't use anything like that. I only use the standard healthy stuff on the watch. I did try an app that tracked water consumption of, drove me mad. So I stopped doing that. I mean, I know I drink enough all day, never stop drinking. So I know that I drink enough. It would have just been nice to, you know, you've just got your watch and you're like, oh, I'll add it in that app. But no, I don't bother with anything like that either. The food would just be nice to kind of know in hand, because when we got Notion and we started putting the recipes in, which are basically meals. I mean, you would call it recipes, but they were actually like the meals. You kind of feel that I don't want to bother using OneNote anymore, because in OneNote, we had to make a new page and then we had to put a table in it. And then we had to put the food in the table and it was all done by hand. So there's got to be a better way. But the ones I've seen from people who have done recipes and food planning and stuff, they look beautiful, but that's not how we do it. It's more like these people with a bullet journal where they've got more time than sense. That one. I really should stop watching those videos. The problem is you watch one and YouTube says to you, oh, you've watched this. Do you want to watch that? And you think, I think I will. One of them was it was an education one. So I thought, oh, you know, something about training. I'll watch that one. I had my eyes opened. Let's just say that. Mike and I do have this very disparaging term, which is, oh, they're a primary school teacher. And it tends to be because the ones we know seem to spend eons of time drawing pretty pictures and stuff, but not actually putting down the core information of what they're teaching the kids. And this was another one of those. She'd got a planner for a year starting August, I think. And it was one of these plan with me's. And I thought that might be handy, you know, how you're planning your prep time and all of that. Because that's exactly what I do. I look at the week and I think, OK, need to put in recording time, prep time, Brooklyn's time, MacBite's time. To say I was disappointed was an understatement. Guess what she was doing with her planner? Now, she said it was a plan with me and it was planning the first 2 months of the academic year. So it sounded perfect. That's not my idea of planning. She sat there with this planner and she stuck about 3,000 stickers in it. And they weren't things like, you know, what would you say? Session one, prep four. Wasn't that? They were like stickers of ladies sat at tables, little cartoony things. But the thing that got me the most was, I can understand decorating a planner, but surely you need to leave enough space that you can write things in it. Apparently not. Apparently I've been doing it wrong for 30 years. It was just covered in stickers. Pretty flowers and things. You've been trying to find the same sort of thing for logo design and been disappointed. Yes. There wasn't a lesson plan to be seen, Kim. This is the thing. You know, if a video says planning the first 2 months of an academic year, and I'm thinking, oh, learning stuff, yay, like Paul's saying, logos, yay. And then it's like, that's not totally what you do. It's a bit clickbaity. I guess you could say, did she plan the first 2 months of the year? No, she didn't. She just took page after page. I mean, I must admit, no idea what I'm in the middle because I just skipped to the flick through at the end. But she didn't write one thing. And what she did say was, haven't got my timetable yet, so I can't fill that in. Then why are you covering it in stickers? I must admit, years ago, I had a Garfield diary. It was the first academic year diary I had, and it was my first year at college, because at school I really didn't give a toss. Deb, I think some of them have never grown up. That's exactly what I thought, Deb. Could not have put that. You're reading my mind. That's exactly what I thought. Because there was no substance in it at all. It was all stickers. Now, when I got my first academic year diary, it was this Garfield one. I think it came with some stickers. But if it did, and the one the year after definitely did, it would have been like an A5 piece of paper, which is about half a letter size, with a handful of stickers on it. And I think the stickers said, like, you know, doctor's appointment, dental appointment. They were fairly generic stuff. And I didn't use them. But what I did do, it was a week to a view. All I did with it was write in, you know, essay due. It was all college stuff. Mock exams, all of that kind of thing. I had my timetable in it. I had my timetable per day, and it also had my timetable like glued in the front. And it would have my homework on it, revision schedule in it. It was like, I actually still have it somewhere. If I find it, I'll show you. But it was like the first year I'd ever actually used something like that, and it was so valuable. So the following year, I couldn't find a Garfield one, but I decided to go for an academic year one again. I think that one was a little bit thicker. I don't know why. It must have had other stuff in it. But again, it worked absolutely perfectly. But the stickers that they give you, I was pretty much like, I'm not bothering with that. But she must have taken, because this video wasn't in real time either. And she said, like, it took me a long time. And it was 2 months she was doing, but she actually said halfway through, because the entire picture changed on the video. And she said, it's 2 weeks later and I've finished. I'm like, what? Tell me it wasn't a full 2 weeks you were doing it. But it, do you know, it could have been. These sticker books that they get with the planners have got like 580 stickers in. Every page was like, I'm looking at it thinking, if you've not got your timetable, I have no idea how you know what stickers to put on what page. Made no sense to me. Not a lesson plan to be seen. Kim, I'm going to have to go back to this channel. I'm going to have to watch at some point in August just to see if she ever actually does get to put a lesson plan together. But I'm definitely with Deb. You're watching it thinking, you know, I was more grown up at primary school than this woman is now. And then we had a fit of the giggles, which did my head in. You know that, oh, and I'm going to put this on here. It's so pretty. Oh, and it's so cute. Look at it. Super cute. If I heard the word cute once and I'm like, just show me how you intend to plan the classes. But no, apparently not. Because I think even if you watch somebody and you're like, no, you might find one thing that thinks, that's not actually what I would do with it, but you've given me an idea. And then I'm off and I'm running with it. Like watching that video where I'm watching it going, no, you can't make them as separate notebooks. That's never going to work, mate. But at the end of the video, I'm like, could I make one table do what that one did? And that's the way where your inspiration comes from, and you're off and you're running. But no, honestly, not with this. Good evening, Mrs. Simon. How are you? Simon been baking again? Not done any baking for a good few days. When you went to college, you were much less organised. I was very, very lucky at college. Very, very lucky. Because I was at school till I was 16. And between 16 and 18, I was at what we would call sixth form college. Sixth form college is where you do a set of exams known as your A levels, advanced levels. I took all new subjects because I'd hated school. That was the first thing. And I did manage somehow to be fairly organised. But that was completely accidental. You know, and I think the diary helped, etc. But when I went to university, I was at a private college, and they actually, although you would still buy textbooks, my friends who weren't at private college were saying like they were struggling because there would be a lecture on week one and they'd say, you're doing this subject and this subject, and that's it. Go and buy this book. And then like week 10, it was like they'd come to me and say, I'm lost. I'm totally lost. There was no structure or organisation to what the lecturers seemed to be teaching. However, my private college, they actually gave you a textbook, a casebook, and a detailed study guide, a DSG. And I'd never seen the concept of a detailed study guide before. So I'm looking at it like, what's that? I know what a textbook is. I know what a casebook is. So we would have our college casebook and our college textbook. But we'd also have this detailed study guide. And I remember coming back home with a trunk full of books, literally. You couldn't carry them. And picking out this detailed study guide and having a look at it. Oh, it was gold. It was absolutely gold. Looking back on it, it was the organisation you needed. What was in it? There was one detailed study guide per subject, and you were supposed to do 4 subjects per year. So you opened it up and it said like lesson one, week one. And it told you what you should be reading. It gave you questions to think about. It gave you cases to refer to. It pointed out the bits in all of the main textbooks that you could go and look up extra information from. And it had your questions in it as well. You wrote an essay every week, but it was on a 4-week rota. And the whole thing was in there. And I remember just flicking through this thing thinking, oh my God, this is it for the year. So what I did with it, because obviously we're supposed to walk around with this detailed study guide, all 4 of them, I thought I'm going to photocopy the lot. So I headed off to the library and I photocopied the entire book. It was an A4 size book. And I then hole punched them. But I used each lesson, so all of the pages for each lesson, at the beginning of that lesson's notes in my binder. So you were completely organised. You couldn't really not be because you had this guide to guide you through the year. It was stunning. It was such a good idea. And that's what I've tried to do since. I was incredibly lucky and broke. Because it was a private college, obviously I had to pay privately, which at the time in the UK, nobody did. Your advanced education from 18 to sort of 23 was paid for by the government. And 99% of people got a grant as well to live on. So they could be out on the lash every night. That pretty much summed up Mike. But me, I had to hold down a job as well because I needed to live and eat. And I didn't get a grant and I had to pay fees as well. But it was a good grounding for the rest of life. Let's just put it like that. Oh, Simon isn't baking. Oh no. Well, we shall look forward to the images that we get when he is. Although I'm not sure about this concept of a few days off. Are you slipping, Mrs. Simon? Do I give Mike a few days off? No. No. Although he did say I had a slight accident with a T-shirt. It was a grey T-shirt, thankfully. I somehow managed to spill some tea on it. Luckily, it wasn't that warm. So he very grudgingly said, I'll put the washing on tomorrow. So I said, thank you. I don't trouble myself with the washer. I deal with the washer when it breaks. When Mike comes in and says the washer's not going round anymore, that's when I get involved. But when it comes to putting clothes in the thing and turning it on, no, I leave that to him. That's just the way it's always been. I was like that with my mother. She wouldn't let me near the washer. The washer was her territory. I only ever had to use it twice. And it was like, where's the manual? Basically, where's the manual gone? But when it comes to dismantling it and fixing it, oh yeah, no problem with that at all. The last time with Mum was the seal at the front. She'd always had a top-loading washing machine, which I thought was a wise idea. Logic to me was, you know, worst case scenario, the clothes get stuck in there, at least you can open the door. Whereas if it's a front loader and it's got water in it and you're trying to get the clothes out, it's going to be a mess. But they stopped making top loaders and she ended up with this front loader. Guess what? Door got stuck. The door had never got stuck in the top loader, but it did get stuck in the front loader. And yes, it had a load of washing in it. But at least I didn't do what my old boss did. Now, my old boss would delegate anything and everything to people. Anything and everything, including his finances, all kinds of stuff. And he got onto me and he said, can you arrange to get somebody round to sort the washer out? And I said, what's the matter with it? So he said, it's stopped working and it's got clothes in. So I said, right, OK. I said, as soon as? He went, yeah. Thing was, you know, I arranged for a guy to go round and he said, I can't make it for 2 days. And I said, that's fine. And in the meanwhile, so I said to him, he'd be there in 2 days. And he started jumping up and down. I said, what's your problem? He went, the clothes have been in there a week already. I said, well, I didn't know that. You didn't tell me. So he said, they'll be rancid by then. And I thought, I'm sorry, but, you know, 2 days ain't going to make much difference at this point. Not if they've been in there a week already. Apparently, they weren't too healthy when they finally got extricated. But, oh, you needed to give him some days off. Calories are adding up. That is very true, unfortunately. Could he do smaller ones? You know, the French sticks, they're my favourite. But obviously, I'd need gluten-free. But if he did smaller ones, maybe that was the answer. Trouble then is, of course, you're going to end up with more, but smaller. There isn't really a win-win here, is there? Oh, Paul, you definitely need to live closer. Oh, this bread looks totally amazing. There is nowhere that you can go these days and get something as nice as that. I mean, the nearest you would have to, like, fresh rather than something out of a supermarket is if a supermarket actually had a bakery on site. Morrison's used to do that. And the smell, it was like overwhelming. But I couldn't even walk up and down the aisle because it would get, I'd be sneezing all over the place. So I could not do that. But the smell was to die for. Tesco used to do that as well. But they stopped and it just gets delivered. And basically there's no smell to it. It's just like chemicals. But fresh bread is absolutely gorgeous. Oh, that was my weakness when I was younger. So I would definitely like to try it, but you'll have to pop over and she'll let Simon bake. Quite liking the idea of this. I think we're going to need a Mac Bites loaf, what do you think? You had one very young, but very young boss is never good. Always complaining it took us 7 to 8 hours to finish the wash. Wow! Told us to put a load in when you first come home. No 7 hour days. That's insanity. My mum did have this fetish where she didn't like to plug the washer and dryer in at the same time. And this went on for years. So the washer and dryer sat next to each other, but they were out in this conservatory thing that we had. And there was, basically it was like an overflow for the kitchen because the kitchen's so tiny. So there was the washer, the dryer, and then she had a dishwasher put in. And then there was a freezer. So they're all lined up, these white boxes, these magic white boxes. And she would say she just felt that it would take too much power to put a wash on and a load of drying at the same time. We must have lived here about 24, probably about 32 years. And she'd said the same thing for 32 years. And we'd all just sit there and roll our eyes. Then one day, and she never did this. So this what I'm about to tell you next didn't happen because she did. This just happened. It was in the summer and Maya was young. So we were having dinner downstairs in the conservatory. My dad was sat there. I was sat there, which was just as well. So somebody to keep their eye on my father. And Maya was outside in the garden. When all of a sudden, Dad went, what's that smell? As I said, what's that smell? And there was a definite kind of pungent burning. So we just looked at each other. Now, I'm going to tell you something after, which would make you understand why I was looking at him. But I'm looking at him, I thought, no, he's not moved. And we're still going. and we looked round, and the socket that she'd got the washer plugged into had set on fire. Literally just self-combusted. Thank God it did it when there was two of us sat there, because otherwise it could have just burnt the house down. It literally just set on fire. There was nothing. There were things plugged in, but they weren't turned on. And we managed to put the fire out. And we just sat looking at each other like, maybe she was right. For 32 years, maybe she was right. So we did actually manage to get it out, which was very fortunate because it was surrounded. There was wood panelling on the wall. And the plug was situated right underneath a ledge, a window ledge. And that was wood. So the whole lot would have just gone up. But we did manage to actually get it out. If that had happened at night, that could have been catastrophic. But why was I looking at my father suspiciously? Well, when we got Mayor, he would say, you go work, I'll look after him. And he'd sit with him in the garden. So the thing with Dad was, he was a smoker. And what he'd done was, he'd been outside smoking and playing with the dog. And he put out one of the cigarettes in a flower pot. Now, technically speaking, that's exactly the same as throwing it on the floor and putting your foot on it, isn't it? He dimped it out. He actually put it out in a flower pot. And nothing happened. Overnight, Mike and I are downstairs. Our bedroom was downstairs at the time. And we're going, it's a funny smell. And the pair of us are walking around going, there's definitely a funny smell. We should have seen this for hours. There was no smoke, there was no flames, it was just this funny smell. And it was a real burnt, something burning, not, but something with a smell, not something like paper. Something, so you're going outside going, I said, I can definitely smell it. And the thing was, the guy next door was a cigar smoker. Well, we could smell that as well. So I said, maybe he's got a new cigar. And Mike said, it's 1:30. I said, yeah, I know, but you know he doesn't smoke in the house. So if the guy had come out and was smoking by the joint fence, maybe it was that. And we're wandering around sniffing. No. And this went on for days. So this was like day three. And the pair of us are still saying, there's that funny smell. I said, I'm telling you, it's not the guy next door because it's constant. So I think it was night time, but it was still light. And we were outside, we're playing football with Maya. And the ball hit the side of the shed, so it goes over to the side of the shed. Where Mum had these plants lined up in plant pots. Thank God they were plant pots and not plastic. And I picked up one of these pots to move it and it was red hot. So I quickly put it down looking at it and I sniffed and I thought, that's that smell. And I looked at it, obviously 3 days later, there was a cigarette in it. He dimped it out all right. But what he didn't know was, because he didn't plant the flower, my mum did, it wasn't soil in the pot. It was peat. And peat burns for days. And he had done. He actually managed to set it on fire. So there was a peat fire going on in our garden in this pot. Mum went absolutely orbital with him. And do you know what he said? How do you know it's me? Now, you won't find that as funny as I do until you know. There was my dad, my mum, me, Mike, Maya. Mum doesn't smoke. I don't smoke. Mike doesn't smoke. And as far as we knew, the dog didn't smoke. And he actually said, how do you know it's me? Yeah, if she went orbital the first time, you should have heard what she said to that one. We literally had to put this thing in a bucket of water because it was so hot. Peat fire is literally like, I mean, you see it on the moors. It's a blaze, but it's kind of underneath. But the heat that it gives off is incredible. Yeah, he didn't do that again. But obviously you can imagine when I'm sat there going, I can smell something. I'm looking at him thinking, what have you done now? Where have you dimmed a cig out? But no, for once he was innocent. The plug just self-combusted. But the flower pot, I think he had something to do with that. He was a living menace. I don't know how Mum put up with it. Some of his shenanigans. And the thing with him was, he was like a little boy who hadn't grown up, who always said, how do you know it's me or it wasn't me? He would deny something that could only have been him. And you think, do you know, just fess up, because she's going to get you in the end. You never get away with anything, Dad. But, you know, you make it worse for yourself for days on end and the rest of us. But that those two were classics. That's why I thought it was his fault, but apparently not. Probably still a lie. Do you know, Simon, it was like, how are we going to put it out? Because it wasn't, you couldn't tell just by looking at it. It was ablaze. Obviously, I wouldn't have picked it up, would I? But I picked it up and it was that hot. You know, I nearly dropped it. It was in a bucket of water for days and days. It was a metal bucket, by the way. And we didn't just stand it in water at the bottom. It was buried in water. It was absolutely smothered in it to the tune of about 12, 13 inches. And he wasn't allowed out in the back garden to smoke again. I mean, if you're going to smoke, fine. But why do smokers feel the need to throw them on the floor or stick them places? Put it out properly. Run it under water if need be. And put it in the bin. Don't leave it in my mother's potted plant, which, unbeknownst to you, was actually potted in peat, which has now been ablaze for 3 days. It's a wonder he didn't set the shed on fire. Mind you, that would have been another story, because there was a petrol mower in there. Do you know, it's the kind of daft trick he would do, I'm telling you. Oh dear, what can you do with them? So is tomorrow going to be the day? Let's take a straw poll. Yes or no to the new iMac tomorrow? I'm still in two minds. My thinking at the moment is, the one I've got is as the one I've got is. I must admit, there are Macs that I've had over the years that have been like, oh, it's my baby. No new iMac tomorrow. Oh, dear. I had high hopes. 13th, 14th. It's more likely to be the end of the month, to be honest, isn't it? But I'm hoping. I'm with Paul. I'm hoping. My first iMac was like that, but then I gave that to Mike. My second iMac was totally my baby. Third one, no, loathed the thing from day one. It was one with the black plastic back. But since then, there have been Macs that are like, it's always just behaved itself. And this one, no. From day one, it struggles with video. It doesn't matter whether you're watching a YouTube video or the ITV or even something that you wouldn't consider to be video per se. And that would be where you are remote controlling another Mac. Anything that involves the display, and the fans come on. They're on now. It's ridiculous. So a new one would be nice, particularly if I could take it up from what I've got, which is 64 gig up to 128. But then you've got the issue of the Apple Silicon to think about. Oh, Mike's not going to be a happy bunny. Southampton have scored. This was after a great opportunity for United and they missed it. Oh dear. I'm glad he's next door at this point. Because it's touch and go whether they get in Europe next year. Mind you, touch and go whether anybody would want to be in Europe next year. But that's a whole different business. But yes, they're one down. Oh dear. So I would love a Mac. I would love a new Mac to get this one off the desk. Have twice the memory in it and obviously be 3 years younger. And when Jonathan did his comparison between his new 2020 MacBook Pro and his 2019 MacBook Pro, you know, it was so much faster. And that was only 1 year difference. For me, it would be three. But I've got to think about the Apple Silicon. But then you're thinking, well, when will the Apple Silicon come to the iMac? Because Apple seems so much more concerned with the laptops. And I'm not really in the market for a laptop, so we'll have to see. But I am still hopeful that it might be sooner rather than later, so I can have a lovely think about it. The other issue is, of course, you never know with Apple when it's a first-gen product how good it's going to be. So to have one, if it takes 18 months to appear to 2 years, and the transition was 2 years, so it could well be March 2022, before you get hold of it, then you're going to be reliant on it because the one you've got is then heading for 6 years old. So it might be an idea, given what Mike and I do, where we can't not have a completely working machine, to get the last Intel one that you know works and is solid before we venture off into the realms of Big Sur running on Apple Silicon. But I'm not going to know the answer to that until I actually see it, so I need to see it. So we can all need to think about that. We used to have a stroke patients group who used to hire the meeting room. It was amazing how many tab ends there were outside the door of the building. You'd think you've already had a stroke. This is it. I don't know. I mean, I've never tried smoking. I have no idea how addictive it is. But that holiday, that one of our laughable holidays where he set fire to the tent, don't ask, all his hands were burnt. There was, his skin was hanging off to the point they put his hands in plastic bags to hold them together. They were terribly badly burnt. We gets to the hospital. I think we've been there about an hour. And as I say, they had no idea what to do with burns patients. And considering I had nylon all over my skin and my hair, they basically just gave you something for the pain and then tried to get an ambulance to shift you. But my dad sat there and he said, "Oh, I need to go outside for a smoke." And I just looked at him like, "Are you for real? How do you intend to light it? How do you intend to hold it?" Because on his hands, they'd put like a petroleum jelly. So like it had gone up like a candle. But he wanted to go outside for a smoke. Oh, and his lips were burnt as well. I don't know how he managed that. Mind you, the canister was in his hands when it exploded. So that's why his hands were burnt and his lips, his nose and bits of his hair. But it would have been the last thing I was thinking. I could not have stood there with a lighter in my hand. I just couldn't. I've heard it is addictive, but it does make you think, doesn't it? Because there's also other people who have said they deliberately didn't try and give up because it's too addictive. And then when they did, they found it easy. And I'm thinking of somebody who said that was Anne Robinson. And she was on 60 a day. And she just gave up in a heartbeat, said no problem at all. So I think maybe it's your incentive or it's the person. I don't know. But no, he only gave up when he literally could not walk outside the house. And he would have carried on if Mum would have let him smoke inside. But she wouldn't. So that was the end of that. Hello! Not going well, is it?
No.
No, sorry about that.
No.
So you're back from your meeting.
Yeah.
How did the meeting go?
Long.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, they started at 7, didn't they?
Yak, 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 yak.
Oh, yeah, but you know...
I was having private conversations with Stuart. Pity he's not in here.
Oh, Stuart was with you, was he? And what was Stuart yakking with you about?
About how long the meeting was.
I guess it is long, isn't it, for an online meeting?
And how nitpicky they were. Yak, 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 yak.
You make it sound so desirable, Mike. We've talked about Notion. We've talked about education and why you shouldn't watch YouTube videos.
Well, he disappeared before me. And I had to wait because I was host. I had to hand hosting back to Ian. Couldn't get away fast enough.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, did I say that out loud?
You did. You did. Bless. They're not seeing each other. This is the problem. They just want to congregate.
Who's not seeing each other?
The people at the meeting. Oh, it's yeah. The only chance they get to talk to somebody other than the good lady.
Well, so, actually, you know the guy who sat with us? The Irish fellow whose wife was a head teacher.
Yes.
Well, he was in the same house as the fellow who sat on your right, Peter Smith.
Really? Are they in a bubble?
They must be.
Oh, how strange. Oh, well, never mind. We've got one vote for hopefully there'll be a new iMac tomorrow, and another one. Kim doesn't think so.
Why? Are we expecting one?
We're expecting one sooner rather than later, but that doesn't mean necessarily tomorrow, does it? But it's Tuesday, and we all like to live in hope. However, Paul, let's be clever with this. Let's think it through. Aha! They've announced the earnings call. And once they've announced the earnings call...
We made lots of money.
Yeah, I know, it's not exciting. But the point is, once they've announced the earnings call, that's usually the week that the kit appears. If it appeared now, they'd want sales information by then. So that is making it look maybe it would be the 27th, and they could say, we haven't got any sales details yet. 28th, rather. Unless they could do that on the 21st and get away with it. But it's Thursday night, the 30th of July. And it's 10 o'clock our time, which means it's 2 o'clock Pacific and 5 o'clock Eastern. They used to be a good laugh, but to be honest, they've kind of gone off the boil a bit. But I'll probably listen so I can report. So Paul's on a 2012 iMac and a 2015 MacBook Pro.
What time's that on?
What?
The earnings call.
What time's the earnings? What have I just said?
I don't know. Tomorrow.
Oh, the 30th, oh, Mike. 30th. 10 o'clock our time, but there's usually a press release about 9, so you needn't bother actually listening. I actually do have a 2012 iMac, and I don't think it can be upgraded, can it? I got a bit confused with my iMacs because two of them, you know, like when you buy an iMac, obviously you remember intimately exactly when you got it. Two of mine went back for repair and they never came back. They got replaced with other models. So the years that I think I bought them, the one I've got is actually probably 3 years younger. But I've definitely got a 2011 and I've definitely got a 2012. And I think it can go up to Catalina, but I don't think it could go any further. Which did make me think. Yeah, Catalina's the last one. Was that a goal I just saw?
It was a goal.
Marcus.
Marcus.
He's a happy bunny again now.
Hey, Marcus.
No, you. I think if it could go to Catalina, I'd probably take it to Catalina. In fact, I was seriously considering taking my 2012 MacBook Air to Catalina. The only thing that's putting me off is I took my 2006 MacBook Pro to the most it could go to. And it was always quite slow after that. So I don't know how well it would run on Catalina. But I guess I could spare it, sort of. I do use it, but it's probably the one that would give me least grief with something that wasn't compatible with it. But you do have to think about how well it will run. But at some point, I'm going to have to do the Catalina thing, aren't I? Mind you, if these Macs come out in July or August, they'll ship with Catalina. Which is probably a good thing.
I did the Catalina thing on my work laptop.
Yeah, you weren't silly enough to do it one of your own.
No.
If it broke, just stick it in a box and send it back with a note that says, fix me. That would have worked really well. Yes. You've got your iPad Pro on iPad. Well, you are ahead of the curve, Paul. No, I need my stuff to
You're
work.
You're a brave boy, Paul.
He's a very brave boy. I've heard it's running very, very well, better than other ones have done at this stage, which is good to hear. They usually end up pulling something and then adding it back in later because it's that catastrophic. But hopefully this time not. So fingers crossed. If, I won't be going for a new iPad because I don't think they'll be out till next March at the earliest, but probably next autumn if they keep to the 18-month schedule. But a phone might be a possibility, in which case it would probably ship with it. I'd do it if there was a spare, Paul, but if it was a primary one, you might never get another phone call. Oh, actually, that'd suit me right down to the ground, wouldn't it? I might do it then. We'll see. I don't tend to do the betas. Life's far too complicated to start with. I've got to fix things that Notion keep breaking and other kinds of stuff. And the fact that my iCloud's not synchronising, so I now need to go and throw some magic beans at that. When is Biggles coming out? It'll be either the back end of September. You see, now they're winning. Now you've left that meeting. Back end of September or October. It should be out by the absolute latest by the end of October. But the last year, they did a weird thing. It was 2 weeks late. And they said, you know, it's coming and we'll let you know. And then all of a sudden one day, boom, it was just there. And that felt a bit weird. They do usually tell you it'll be available at 6 o'clock on such and such a date. But maybe it was because it slipped. But that was the issue, where if you're after the installer for Catalina and Biggles comes out, then Catalina's not going to be available any longer. So you really need to be downloading Catalina every day from September to make sure you get the last version that was available. Sometimes they'll make it available, you know, if there is some kind of update. But you definitely need to purchase, air quotes, Catalina, if you haven't already done it, because after that you wouldn't be able to purchase it, which was the mess Mike found himself in. I got his backside, illuminated or otherwise, out of the fire with that one. But let's not talk about fire, hey guys. I was telling them about when Mum had this fetish about the plugs not plugging the washer and dryer in, and then the plugs set on fire.
Mm.
And then I explained about Dad and the peat pot. How do you know it was me? Because the dog doesn't smoke.
The dog's taken up smoking.
Do you know, if the dog had, it'd have been more sensible with the dimps.
60 a day Samoyed.
Oh, you need to tell them.
About
oh, no,
what?
You did that yesterday. It's fine. No, it's all right. You did that yesterday.
Well, I haven't taken up smoking.
No. If you do need to get Catalina but not install it, you can do that. So don't think by purchasing Catalina that you've got to install it. The trick is, go to the App Store and you'll have the Buy button. Just click that. It will start to download it, but you will get to a point. Watch my boot disk video and you can see the pictures. But you'll get to a point where it says install Catalina and you just say no. And you will find the installer, if you want to keep it, in your apps folder. And it will be under I. Don't look under Catalina or macOS. It will be under I and it will be called install macOS Catalina. So you don't actually have to install it just because you're purchasing it. Just make sure that you nuke it before the install starts. I don't think you can buy it on a machine that doesn't support it. But let me test that, because I actually do have... Mind you, I've already bought it. So I don't know if it would do that. I will check and find out. So, you're going to watch the second half after you've got together some nice dessert?
I guess so.
Ooh, nice dessert. Simon's not been baking.
Oh.
Mm, he's been given a bye by Mrs. Simon for a few days. But hopefully he'll be back. It'll be lovely. Why is my phone pinging? Why have we got people telling us the game's on 25 minutes into the game, Mike?
Who's telling you?
It's just got a notification from WhatsApp. Anyway, we'll head off and I can have one of my gluten-free buns, which I did not have earlier. This is because I worked really late, got up really late and went straight into lunch. But I'm going to have one now. Gluten-free blueberry muffin, isn't it?
Yes.
Mmm, gorgeous. Might take a picky, share with you. But we will be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. But for the moment...
And I've got another Catanian meeting.
Yeah, well, I'll be back tomorrow. He's got another meeting. But hopefully it'll be shorter than tonight's and he'll join as well before the end anyway. Thank you, Kim. So do I. He's always in a better mood if they've won. Just saying. But for the moment, it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.